Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Rob, I want to start this segment by telling you that maybe, possibly, you were right about something. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Let's, wrap up a conversation about Kadarius Toney that we had from yesterday, because our show was just kind of disjointed yesterday with everything that was happening. Thanks again to everybody who came out for our College Football 25 tournament. I had a lot of fun. Special thanks to all the people over at Level Up for all of their help. They were a great partner. We look forward to doing this again in the future. So we were talking about Kadarius Toney yesterday and the possibility that he could be moving to running back. So I want to play for you guys what Matt Nagy had to say. The offensive coordinator commented on it. Here's what he had to say earlier today in St. Joe.
It's probably the biggest thing right now with KT is just us being able to use his strengths. He's super talented. He can do a lot of things. So right now is probably the time to experiment and use these reps that we get. So yeah, we'll do some more with him at running back. We did some last year with him, and I think he's a weapon when you use him that way, and being able to bounce him around in different spots, and so far so good.
I'm kind of struggling to come up with who the comparison could possibly be, because we were using the point yesterday about Jerick McKinnon, for example. Could he turn into a Jerick McKinnon type? But I think it's important to note, and this is where I was a little bit off on this, Jerick McKinnon, now, maybe he could become Jerick McKinnon. Like, I'm looking at Jerick McKinnon's height and weight. Jerick McKinnon is 5'9", 210 pounds. Now, maybe you got to bulk Kadarius Toney up a little bit. Maybe you got to give him a little protein shake. I don't know how you put on weight like that, but maybe that's what you need to do. A lot of people are using the Cordarrelle Patterson example. Cordarrelle Patterson is just a bigger human being than Kadarius Toney. Cordarrelle Patterson was 6'2", 220. That is a bigger person than someone who is 6'1", 190. That is a much bigger human being. I also don't think they would use him the way that Kadarius Toney got used. You look at Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson was struggling to kind of figure out a position and find a position in the league. He didn't really figure it out until he was 30. It's very rare that a guy just kind of middles around and then when he's 30 years old, just unlocks his full potential. I mean, that's what happened with him in Atlanta. They moved him to running back. He was actually pretty productive. Had 600 yards rushing, had another 550 yards through the air. He was a good player. You then look at the next season, kind of the same thing. He had 700 yards rushing, gave you 300 yards via receiving out of the backfield. He was a pretty productive player those couple of seasons for Atlanta. Now, it didn't last long. The injuries eventually happened. He got old. That's going to happen. I think it's going to be really hard to do this Kadarius Toney thing consistently if he doesn't put on a little bit of weight. It's already hard enough to play in the league. It's hard to play running back at 190 pounds. That's just going to matter over time. So I don't know what you need to do. They got a strength and conditioning coach. Some of you are way more qualified to answer this question than I am. But yesterday when I went back and I was on Pro Football Reference kind of looking around, I don't really know if there is a comparison for a guy like Kadarius Toney that has been a primary wide receiver. Now you try to have him switch positions and he is able to find that kind of success.
I mean, there are dozens of examples of saying failed is unfair, but wide receivers who fit that body type where it didn't work. Text line right now is saying, well, what about Dexter McCluster? What about Tavon Austin? What about... There are countless examples of wide receivers who had that body type, and it didn't work out. Some of them did with that body type, some of them didn't, but there are examples of wide receivers. There is very little to no precedent of a guy with his body type being running back in the NFL, or at least a productive one. Maybe there's a guy who, hey, he was an elite, hey, third down, let's just get him in, that I'm just forgetting. But he's more Dante Hall body type than he is Priest Holmes. Like, it would have to be, and it's a different NFL, but it would have to be something for him to become a productive NFL running back. And maybe the Chiefs are just trying to squeeze water out of a rock. They know it's sunk costs. Let's just try to do something. But that is not the body of an NFL running back.
Yeah, and I also just think that a lot of people are using the Percy Harvin conversation. Like, I'm looking at the text line right now. He's Percy Harvin, but skinny. Maybe he's a Dollar General Percy Harvin. I don't think people understand how good Percy Harvin was at his absolute peak, and that Percy Harvin was a legitimate wide receiver in the league. Percy Harvin's first year, he had 790 yards and gave you 135 yards on the ground. His second year in the league, he had 109 targets and had 868 yards and also ran the football for you effectively. Percy Harvin was a legitimate NFL wide receiver that they also used in the run game. That is not what the Chiefs are trying to do with Kadarius Toney. He is a failed wide receiver in the National Football League. He failed with the Giants. He is currently a failed wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are trying to breathe life into his NFL career. That's not what Percy Harvin was as a player. So I actually don't think that Percy Harvin is the best comparison for him. There probably is a comparison for him, and I'm just currently struggling to find it, and eventually I will find it or somebody will make it, and I will give them credit. But Kadarius Toney is nothing like Percy Harvin.
See, now the text line now is just naming short running backs in the NFL. And it's just, I feel like instead of fighting with all of them, you are not Darren Sproles at the top text. Darren Sproles weighed more than 193 pounds. He did. Just because you are short doesn't mean you weigh a buck 93.
And not even that. I mean, just I don't need to tell our audience this when it comes to Darren Sproles. Like, Kadarius Toney at no point has shown me that he can be Darius Sproles. Darren Sproles is one of the best college football players that we have ever seen. And that player just translated to be a really productive NFL player. That is not what Kadarius Toney was. Kadarius Toney had one good year at Florida and has never fully panned out. Like, the fact that Darren Sproles had the career that he had at his size for as long as he had it is pretty remarkable. I'm sitting there looking at it. Darren Sproles is 5'6", 190 pounds. Darren Sproles played double-digit years in the National Football League. He played 14 years in the league. He played until he was 36 years old. Darren Sproles' career is almost as impressive as Tony Gonzalez's career when you think about just getting the absolute most out of your ability. For a guy who didn't really have a defined position, wasn't really a wide receiver, wasn't really a running back in the league, the fact that you can play 14 years in the league and you can run a little bit, you can catch a little bit, you can be a kick returner, you can be a punt returner, I can't believe that we are being disrespectful to Darren Sproles, who might be the best high school football player to come through here. And if we had to make a list of the top 10 college football players in the last 30 years around the three local schools, Darren Sproles might be number one on the list.
I mean, it was so disrespectful to Darren Sproles. You got me, a KU fan who did not like watching Darren Sproles run up and down the field on his team, defending Darren Sproles. We got to stop this. Darren Sproles was a much better. The best analogy I've seen in the text line is Tariq Cohen. Remember Tariq Cohen? That he was 5'7", 180 for the Bears. But you know what? Even then, I don't know that Kadarius Toney could be him. You know, the body type makes sense, but Tariq Cohen's most productive season, he got 100 targets in the passing game as a running back. They basically screened teams to death in 2019. I don't think that's ever happening with Kadarius Toney. So there just is not a one-for-one comparison. Like I continue to say, and you said it yesterday, the advantages to the skeptic, but it just seems like the Chiefs are trying to squeeze water out of a rock. We're trying to make Kadarius Toney something in this offense. They're trying to make him OW, offensive weapon. Too often the OW position is a failure. DeAnthony Thomas comes to mind.
If I asked you right now over the last 25 years, who's the best local college football player between Missouri, Kansas, and K-State, who would your answer be?
So
I just want to know who your answer would be.
It doesn't have to be a guy who's...
Because Darren Sproles counts. He's in the last 25 years. If I had to ask you who's number one, I just can't wait till you lie.
So you mean? Do you mean like local, like came from here like Darren Sproles?
No, just who played on one of the three Macklin. Local schools.
Macklin.
Okay.
It's Macklin, Daniel, Sproles, Klein, Reesing probably.
Okay. You think Cy Reesing's better than Luther Burden?
Yes.
Okay.
He played a more important position.
Not for too much longer, because Luther Burden's about to be a Heisman finalist this
year. Burden could pass him, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I think you got Reesing a little too high.
I think
you got Reesing a little too high.
Burden's probably in that L. Roberson category right now. There's still data points to plot, okay. But he's L. Roberson.
All right, just making sure. I just wanted to get your opinion. I just wanted to get your take on who you thought it was.
Now, if you ask Gabe, it's Denario Alexander, 1 through 10.
Denario Alexander. I usually think number one is Chase Daniel. I put Chase Daniel number one out of the three local schools. I usually think Sproles might be two. Sproles was different at K-State.
Sproles was a freak. Yeah.
Sproles was different at K-State. Sproles might be the first, like, the way you hate Jason Tatum, I'm actually surprised you don't hate Darren Sproles that way.
Oh, no, I don't.
Because Darren Sproles used to terrorize your school. Terrorize them.
I absolutely hate Darren Sproles. You know where he played high school football? He played against my team in my high school and high school as well. Cooked them boys as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what he did when he went to the league? He was a Charger. And you know what those 07 Chiefs couldn't do? Stop Darren Sproles. It was like 15 years this guy was a terror in my life.
Can I just read for you? I just want to read one thing to you. Can I read to you Darren Sproles 2003?
Year they won the Big 12 title, he was, yes.
Darren Sproles junior year. It's not even realistic. Darren Sproles as a junior had 306 carries for 1,900 yards. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry and had 16 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, he gave you two receiving touchdowns that year. He had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I imagine he had some special teams help as well at K-State, but just that man was not normal. It was not normal at all, actually.
I know there was a whole team around him, and L. Roberson was a good quarterback.
Why didn't he play as a freshman? Can we have, like, an answer for that? Like, I don't know much about the 2001 Kansas State Wildcats. They couldn't have had a running back better than Darren Sproles, than freshman Darren Sproles. They could not have, because then his sophomore year, he ran for 1,500 yards. He could have helped. He could have helped the freshman K-State Wildcats.
I mean, that Big 12 title game at Arrowhead where basically L. Roberson and Darren Sproles just beat Oklahoma by themselves.
Yeah, by themselves.
I mean, like, I know K-State's had a lot of fond memories. That has to be up there for Cat fans. Just doing that in Arrowhead to an Oklahoma team that eventually went on to play for the national title. That Darren Sproles game was, I mean, special.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple of those games. I mean, Chase Daniel had that game against Kansas that he got invited to the Heisman ceremony because he played that well against Kansas. I mean, Darren Sproles got invited to the Heisman ceremony because how he played against Oklahoma. I just looked it up. He had 22 carries for 235 yards against Oklahoma.
He's not normal.
He also had three catches for 88 yards and a touchdown in that game too. He had over 300 yards from scrimmage against Oklahoma. They won that game.
Darren Sproles might be one.
Hit number one is Darren Sproles was really good at Kansas State. In case you forgot, they smoked Oklahoma that year. They beat them 35-7. I know they beat them like that.
Oklahoma still played the national title, by the way, that year. Just to give you an idea how broken the BCS system was, Oklahoma lost, was humiliated. They went to go play for the national title, and then I think it was Matt Flynn's LSU team also went out and gave Oklahoma the beats.
text line 913-586-7610. See, now you have to remember Bill Snyder didn't play freshman back then. Okay, yeah, my bad. I forgot about that. My apologies, K-State fans. I would like to point out that we talked about K-State today, and then tomorrow they'll be like, oh, you guys never talk about K-State. We talked about Darren Sproles in July for 5 minutes. That's how great Darren Sproles was at college. Hit the button for me, Rob.
While you're stuck in traffic on your drive home, The Drive gets you caught up on the biggest sports stories in Kansas City and around the country. It's the hits only on The Drive, number one.
Darren Sproles today would make like $1.5 million in name, image, and likeness at K-State.
More than that.
Year after he came back after Heisman year.
Oh, he made more than that. That one, I know that the girl is disrespectful, but the softball player who just transferred to Tech.
Yeah, she got 1.2, I saw.
If she's getting 1.2, Darren Sproles off 2,000 yards is getting way more than 1.2.
Darren Sproles would have made more than Cole Reagans is about to make this year.
Whatever K-State fans are giving Avery Johnson plus DJ Giddens, that's the Sproles budget.
Yeah.
But the top story of the day in Kansas City today, Carrington, other than Darren Sproles' greatness in college, is Ja'Marr Chase, because he decided to pop off when talking to the NFL top 100 people.
And who is the number one player on the top
100? On the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not going to lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row.
How can you not hear that and not smile if you're a Chiefs fan? Not feel joy if you're a Chiefs fan? It is okay to dislike a team or a player. In fact, that's what makes sports cool. I don't have anything against Mike Krzyzewski. I'm sure he's a great individual, but I took great pride in watching him lose his last two games to North Carolina. If there's anything that we have learned in 2024, is it is okay to be a hater. Cat Williams kicked things off at the very beginning of the year. Kendrick Lamar, he made 6 songs this year about how he hates one individual. It's okay to be a hater. And Ja'Marr Chase, he is the Chiefs' biggest hater. I like it. It's fun. I like Cincinnati. I know I'm not supposed to like Cincinnati. I just like them. They make it interesting. All the other teams, they just pat Kansas City on the head and tell Patrick Mahomes how great he is. I like the fact that there's one team that says, nah, he good, but screw that guy. I don't like him. I love it. That's what the NFL is. It's competition at the absolute highest level. That guy has something that you want. He has the crown right now. He has the championship belt. You guys both have been going back and forth trolling each other. You've trolled him. He's trolled you. He's had the Super Bowl rings and said, and who? It's good. This is how you treat the GOATs. This is how you treat Michael Jordan. This is how you treat LeBron. This is how you treat Messi and the absolute legends of the game. I love it. It's good. Chiefs fans, you know the feeling that you have towards John Elway? You know the feeling that you have towards Peyton Manning for how they treated your team for all those years, how they ripped your heart out? Doesn't it feel good that now people feel that way about your quarterback, and that people feel that way about your team? There is somebody out there, a lot of people actually, this is going to be their experience. The first NFL game of the season, they are going to see your team raise a championship banner. They're then going to go to commercial, and they're going to show your quarterback selling you water and glasses and headphones and shampoo. And then they're going to show the most famous human being in the world supporting her boyfriend. Then they're going to go back to showing the quarterback that I just mentioned. That's great. That's not great. That's not exciting. It's fun. Let Ja'Marr Chase say what he wants to say. It's sports. Not everybody has to like each other. In fact, sports are usually better when everybody's not friends, when everybody's buddy-buddy. That makes it the best. I love it.
Do you have the Bengals in that same Super Bowl pantheon as the Chiefs?
I mean, I don't have anybody in that pantheon with the Chiefs. But yes, if you are asking who are the biggest contenders to the Chiefs, Cincinnati is at the top of that list for me still. And I Baltimore is good. Houston should be good this year. There's other good teams in the league. There is a value in seeing you do it before. And I saw Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow play in the AFC Championship game, and I've seen Burrow be his equal. I've seen him be his equal. That it could have went either way both times. Burrow got one, Mahomes got one. I think they are rivals. I think that is the Chiefs' biggest rival. I think it is Cincinnati.
Well, last year this time, Carrington, there was no chance the Kansas City Royals would make the hits, despite the fact it would be July. But today, they're one of the top stories.
New out here.
New era. They are one of the top stories of the day in Kansas City, as Jeff Passan, basically becoming the best baseball reporter in the world, said the Royals are very active in the trade market, looking for both a bat and a bullpen arm ahead of next Tuesday's trade deadline. Carrington, how excited are you that the Royals are continuing to actively look to improve this roster?
Can you fade the music down, please? Does it not? You guys don't know how emotional this makes me. The Royals get it. They really do. They get it. The Royals understand. Now, can the Royals win the World Series? Probably not. But you know what? The Royals have maybe the best rotation in the American League. They also could quite possibly have the best player in the American League. Equipped with that information, you know what the Royals are going to try to do? Give themselves a chance to do something special. I'm not saying that the Royals need to be reckless at the trade deadline or, quote, sell the farm, but the Royals have a chance to make the playoffs right now. You don't know what happens in 2025. An injury could happen. Something, you never know. You got a chance right now to win your division. You also have a chance to make the postseason. So go for it. What I don't understand a whole lot is, if you're a Royals fan, is you have seen the Royals make the postseason two times in your life. Two times. You're 39. They've made it two times. And now you're telling me to not go for it potentially because of next year. No, next year is now. I want you to go for it now. That doesn't mean do something stupid, but there is another move out there that you could potentially make that could help better your chances of making the postseason now, while also giving you flexibility for the future, the way you did with Hunter Harvey. If you got Jazz Chisholm, the outfielder for the Miami Marlins, he checks both boxes. He can be your opening day outfielder for 2025, and he can help you make the postseason in 2024. What the Royals needed in 15 were rental pieces. They didn't want those contracts long term. You knew that Zobrist was going to go somewhere else. So what you were willing to give up, and just the quality of player that you got in 2015. No one's saying you got to go get that player. But right now the Royals are 5 games back in the division. They're tied with Minnesota. They both have 56 wins. You still have 7 games against the Guardians, the wild card right now. The Royals have the second best record right now for the wild card, and they're only 3.5 games back from the best wild card position with the New York Yankees. They can do this thing. We're almost at August. Some of us just wanted them to get us to the summer. Some of us just wanted them to get us to training camp. Training camp has started, and the Royals would make the playoffs right now if the playoffs began. And the team that is their closest competitor in the wild card race, they come to Kansas City in 10 days. If you can continue to do what you're doing and you're 2 games up on the Red Sox and you win that series, you can be 4 games up on the Red Sox with less than 50 games to go. All I'm saying is I am all for planning for the future. Planning for the future is great. But you can take a vacation now and still plan for the future. You can go buy that jacket that you really want and still plan for your future. You can still go get an outfield bat and still have the opportunity this offseason, if you need to make a radical move to get yourself over the hump, to do so. Why not do both? Especially for an organization like the Royals, that for the amount of joy that they have given us, they have almost given us an equal amount of pain. They had two amazing years. Don't get me wrong. They had 2 amazing years. The Royals have been bad for a majority of our lives. If you're me, I'm in my mid-30s. Rob, you have had like three or four fun Royal seasons. You've had like 25 bad ones. I mean, like 25, not where they win like 79 games. I mean, where they win like 59 games. They've had a bunch of those in our life. So when they got a chance to go for it the way they do right now, I am happy to hear them say, let's do this and let's go for it. And Jeff Passan, who I believe, and I've told him, I think he is the best baseball reporter in the world. The fact that he is hearing that the Royals are one of the most aggressive teams as we are heading toward the deadline really warms my spirit. They are listening. They hear you. They hear you. You remember back when we were asking people to vote, you guys said, hey, they want me to do this, but I want them to invest. They invested this offseason. They have already made one trade, and they are thinking about making another one. And if the playoffs started today, the Royals would make – we are over the 100-game mark. This is not a flash in the pan anymore. We have played 100 baseball games, and the Royals would be in the postseason. I want them to go for it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Once again, thanks to everybody that came out yesterday to support us for our college football tournament. Hopefully we can do more stuff like that in the future. Thanks to the people at Level Up, too. They were great. I can't speak highly enough about the people over there at Level Up. If you got little ones that like playing video games, you know, teenagers that like playing video games, I would highly encourage you to go check out Level Up inside Hy-Vee Arena. All right, I want to ask you guys this question. I was thinking this because Juwan Taylor, he met with the media earlier today. Andy Reid met with the media as well, and he was asked a question about Juwan Taylor, who committed all the penalties last year. Here's what Andy Reid had to say about Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, he's working hard. I think he settled down that last quarter of the season there. With as far as the penalties go, you know, you started out like he did with the first game, and he got away with a couple things as far as being deep, and then he got nailed for it after that. So that's how that goes. I think he learned a good lesson last year, and it looked like he finished strong. So that was a positive, and he picking up in a good spot with the OTAs and these practices we've had up here.
Juwan Taylor committed a lot of penalties last year. Just to give you guys an idea, and this is probably a bad comparison. It's not a like one-to-one comparison. Last year, Jawan Taylor accounted for 140 penalty yards last season, Rob. 140 last season. Kadarius Toney had 169 yards receiving last year. Like, almost everything that you got from Kadarius Toney was almost completely neutralized by the penalties of Jawan Taylor. Last season, he had 9 false start penalties, 7 offensive holding penalties. He was by far and away the most penalized player in the National Football League. So he committed 20 penalties. 3 of them were declined. So he had 17 penalties. Second place was 12 last year. So he was a big leader of the most penalties last year in the National Football League. He said that he's going to continue to work on these things and work on technique.
Really just honing in on my technique, getting better with that. And then, you know, just making sure I'm in the playbook more. Now it's my second year going into that. I'm pretty comfortable with it. And just getting better with that overall.
So this is what I was thinking as I was driving in today. This is what I was thinking. You guys know that we talk a lot of movies on this show. And I think this is the movie that both Rob and I both like a lot. It's the movie Meet the Parents. And in the movie Meet the Parents, they talk about this special elite club that not everybody can join. It's called the Circle of Trust.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns Family Circle of Trust. See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle. Yeah.
This is what I was thinking. I think there's only 2 players currently today that are outside the Burns family circle of trust, the Chiefs fan circle of trust. I think one is Kadarius Toney. Now, I will always give you guys credit for this. When you guys love a player or they join the team, you are the most optimistic fan base in the National Football League. Jarrett Wiley can be Travis Kelce. Jody Fortson can have 10 touch. When you guys believe, y'all don't just halfway believe. Y'all really believe. It's inspiring. You guys tried to will Justin Ross to be an all-pro receiver last year. I'm not joking. This is not tongue-in-cheek. When you guys believe in a player, oh my goodness, you guys go all out for that player. When you guys give up on them, you give up on them. It's like, wait, hold on. It reminds you of your friend that you remember when he was dating this girl. You used to love her. You used to open up car doors. You used to, you know, get the little napkin and wipe food off of her face. You guys really loved each other. Now you hate her and can't stand her. Now you never liked her. I remember when you used to do all of these things. She used to have you smitten back in the day. A lot of you thought Kadarius Toney could be a number one wide receiver. It wasn't that long ago. But now he is outside the circle of trust. You don't want anything to do with him anymore. Chiefs are trying to move him to running back. You don't care. Get him off the team. He cannot help you anymore. He can't catch. He can't line up correctly. He's on Instagram talking spicy. You don't want anything to do with Kadarius Toney anymore. The other person is Sky Moore. There's 2 people right now. I'm at least happy that Kadarius Toney is not alone in the doghouse. I'm happy he at least has some company. He gets cold out there all by yourself. He at least has some friends with him in the doghouse. Just one friend, not multiple friends. There are 90 players for the Chiefs that are right now in St. Joe. There's only 2 I don't think you guys like. I know you guys don't like Scott Moore. I know that. You guys do not like Scott Moore. And Kadarius Toney, he is also on the outside looking in. Even though Jawan Taylor committed all those penalties last year, I don't think that he's in the doghouse. I don't think he is outside the circle of trust. He can be really quickly. He can put himself in the doghouse, but I think he's safe for right now. 913-586-7610. As of today, July 24th, I think there are only 2 players that you guys have outside the circle of trust. I think that's Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. You guys haven't always been that fond of Justin Watson, but I think the team's trust of him has now made you guys kind of trust him a little bit. There was a time Mecole Hardman was on the outside of the doghouse. He has now fought his way back into the circle of trust. You guys like Mecole Hardman again. So I'm not saying you can forever. You can get back in the circle of trust. You got to have a great playoff performance, though. You got to do something special to get back in you guys' good graces. Because when you guys are done, you usually write them off. It took Frank Clark had to have the most sacks since Reggie White to get off you guys' list. Think about it. He signed that contract. He had those guns in his car. He had to turn into Myles Garrett in the postseason for you guys to be friends again with Frank Clark. That's who I think is in the Chiefs' circle of trust.
I wish there was a third category, in or out of the circle. Because I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is neither in nor out. I don't think Chiefs fans trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think they distrust him. He just kind of exists.
He's just there.
I think most Chiefs fans wish we had a better running back too. I don't like Clyde, but I think they also understand it's running back two. He's fine. Like, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is closer to outside the circle than inside the circle, except for that random Clyde Edwards-Helaire stand on the text line last year who told me that the catch he made was one of the most impressive things he's seen ever. Other than that guy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, is on the outside, but I wish there was a third category because he just kind of exists.
I don't disagree with you. Now, I do think there are people that, like, you know how there's this coworker that you don't have that much of an issue with her. Like, you're fine, but if she catches you on the right day and says something crazy, you might snap at this individual. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't said anything yet, but you just waiting for her to give you the side eye at work, and then you might go crazy. You might say something crazy to her. That's where I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is. He's cool for now, but let Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble on the opening series against the Ravens. Then he might be outside the circle of trust. Juwan Taylor is cool for right now, but let him get a holding penalty that takes a touchdown off the board coming up in a couple of weeks, and then he might be in the doghouse. But right now, there is only two people that are firmly in the doghouse. Firmly. If they traded Sky Moore for a conditional seventh-round pick, some of you would be happy. Some of you would be happy. Finally. If they swap sixth-round picks for Kadarius Toney, some of you would be thrilled about it. I think you guys have just accepted Clyde Edwards-Helaire for who he is. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now in the role that he is. He's in the correct role right now. He is a backup running back in the National Football League. He's not going to get too many carries. He's not going to get too many chances to mess things up. He's going to get 4 to 6 touches, and in those 4 to 6 touches, he probably gets 22 yards. I mean, I've seen enough Clyde Edwards-Helaire to know what's probably going to happen if you give him the ball 5 or 6 times. But, hey, maybe you give him the ball 6 times, and he gets like 35 yards. He can't really do too much to hurt you at this point. So I think you've just reached the point of, okay, it's fine. We acknowledge that he was a failed first-round pick. We acknowledge that he was a bust. And now he is in the correct role at the correct price. His rookie contract is over. We can't argue, oh, he was a first-round pick. It doesn't matter anymore. He was a running back that you picked up on a one-year deal that knows the offense. So I actually think Chiefs fans have just reached a place of neutral with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That could obviously turn at any moment. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to hand things off to Josh Vernier as the Royals get ready to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So the Royals play today. They have an off day tomorrow, and then they play Friday against the Cubs for a weekend set against the team from the north side. All right, let me give you guys a quick little list. It is certainly list a season over there at ESPN.com. So if you remember, ESPN did a list of the top athletes of the 21st century. Well, they have narrowed it down to the top 25 NFL players since 2000. Let me give you guys the top 10. Number 10 on this list is Darrell Revis. Number 9, Aaron Rodgers. Number 8, Ray Lewis. Number 7, J.J. Watt. Number 6, Calvin Johnson. Number 5, Randy Moss. Number 4, Peyton Manning. 3, Aaron Donald. 2, Patrick Mahomes. Number 1, Tom Brady. This was ESPN's top 25 NFL player list since 2000. Rob, now that we have seen the list, do you have any issues with the top 10 NFL players over the last 24 years?
Nothing jumps out. I mean, I think Moss might be a little low.
Who are you moving down? You moving down Donald or Peyton?
Probably Donald. I mean, you could argue that Randy Moss is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Now, I guess you could do the same thing with Aaron Donald for defensive tackle, but it just seemed a little low for Randy Moss. But I feel like that's nitpicking. I feel like generally it's pretty good. I don't love Donald at 3. I understand how great he is, but 3 seems a little high. But other than that, I have no large-scale beef with what happened.
I think that Ray Lewis is too low on this list. It is very few players, especially defensive players, that can say I was the best player on a championship team, the way that Ray Lewis is. They are the defining defense in the history of the National Football League, and he was the best player on that defense. I think that Ray Lewis should be in the top 5 on this list. Now, maybe he didn't have the individual accomplishments of J.J. Watt. He also just plays more of a tackle coverage kind of linebacker where J.J. Watt was going to go get a lot of sacks. But Ray Lewis had a better career than J.J. Watt. He should be ahead of him. Love Calvin Johnson. Who doesn't love Calvin Johnson? Ray Lewis should be ahead of Calvin Johnson. I also think that he should be ahead of Randy Moss too. And we all feel the exact same way about Randy Moss. Ray Lewis should be in the top 5. The top 5 should be Ray Lewis, Peyton Manning, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. That's how I would do the top 5. And I just think that this list potentially, we all understand how good that Ravens team was. You can maybe argue that that season Ray Lewis should have won MVP as a defensive player. And that's how important he was for that team. I don't know if we will ever see another defense as good as that Ravens team, just with the way the rules are. I also don't know if we will see a defensive player in an individual season be as dominant as Ray Lewis was the season that they won the championship. I would have put him in my top 5.
Do you know that J.J. Watt has more defensive player of the years than Ray Lewis?
He has 3, right?
He has 3. Ray Lewis only has 2. Now, Pro Bowls is pretty substantial, but every other metric outside of Hall of Fame and Super Bowl, when you look at their football reference page, is J.J. Watt. And I'm not trying to diminish Ray Lewis. He might be the best middle linebacker, if not one of the top 3 middle linebackers of all time. J.J. Watt had a larger impact on games. You could argue the Texans would have been awful. Like, their roster pre-Deshaun Watson was not good, and they were consistently a playoff team. Why? J.J. Watt was that level of good.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, Ray Lewis barely played in the 2000s. Ray Lewis played until 2012, so I don't know if we're talking about the same version of Ray Lewis, but no, Ray Lewis definitely played a lot in the 2000s that make him eligible and qualified for this list. And the year that we're talking about, it was in 2000. It was the 2000-2001 Super Bowl for Ray Lewis, in which he was Defensive Player of the Year. He actually finished 5th in MVP voting that year. That year, Marshall Faulk was number 1, Donovan McNabb was number 2, Eddie George, Rich Gannon, and Ray Lewis. I mean, Marshall Faulk had a great year. Now in hindsight.
Isn't that the year he set the touchdown record?
Yeah, he had 18. He had 18 and then 8 receiving yards, mm-hmm. or 8 receiving touchdowns. Ray Lewis should have been the MVP in 2001. He should have been the MVP. You think about that defense, that team.
I just disagree, but we're up against the clock.
You wouldn't have gave it to a running back either, though.
No, I wouldn't have given it to Marshall Faulk either.
You'd have given it to Donovan McNabb, who had 21 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions. He was the NFL MVP in 2000.
I wouldn't have given it to a linebacker, I'll tell you that.
Well, a linebacker was the best player on a championship team. You don't remember that? You were alive for that. I know you watched.
That's not the metric we used to judge.
He also won Super Bowl MVP that year. He was the best player in the league in 2000. Yes, sometimes the best player in the league doesn't have to be a quarterback, Rob. You're a positionist. That's what you are. You're a positionist. That's terrible. I accept all positions. I I don't see position. That's the best way to say it. I don't see position. We had a lot of fun today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for a Royals off day. We're hoping to have a Hall of Famer join us on the show tomorrow. We'll see if it happens. Keep it right here, Sidrive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.